Mitchell, and the cracking right hand, and that must finish it. It must finish it.
Taylor trying to catch himself, using his jab. Eats a right hand, another right hand, and he goes down. Oh my goodness!
The dream is made real. Ricky Hatton rocks the world with a truly stunning win over a modern legend. He is the champion of the world.
Hello, hello, hello. We're back again. It's Raps on TV, reporting fresh from London. The boxing season is back. It's open. We've had a great weekend of boxing last weekend, and we've got an even better one to look forward to this weekend. Not only do we have the big, huge clash between two juggernauts, Canelo versus Golovkin, we've also got Billy Joe Saunders, who's always going to be making a name for himself, potentially in the middleweight against Monroe, which will be taking place in the Copper Box Arena. And we've also got the Super Series fight between Smith and Skoglund. So huge, huge fights this weekend. As usual, just want to say a big up to all the listeners, all the guys downloading, all the support, all of that. We're back. The boxing season is back, baby. We're happy. Inam?
Yeah, so I just want to introduce our guest as well. We've got D from Below the Belt, along with his co-host.
Business partner. Business partner, Robert.
What's good, fight fans?
And did you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, D, you know, I'm here, Below the Belt TV. Glad to be here.
For those that do know, because you've been listening in, D adore Dwayne, we should say Below the Belt. He's always been calling all the support. He did the Mayweather special, we called in. Every week he's calling and giving us his opinion. So I thought it's only right for a fight like this, we bring them both in the studio. Yeah. Guys, what have you been working on in the last couple of weeks? Do you want to just tell the listeners what you got coming up?
Well, working on a few things. Like, the boxing season kind of went quiet for a moment, and now it's starting to begin. So obviously we're trying to make sure that we can be in the building for the Billy Joe Saunders Willie Monroe fight this weekend. That's a good look. And then you can move on to the Joseph Parker Hugh Fury.
Perfect.
So we're just following all the main events at the moment and just networking, and we've got quite a few interviews that we're yet to release. So obviously one fighter in particular I'd say to look out for is Umar Sadiq.
He's fighting this weekend.
That's right, pro debut. Very, very good guy. We've had him on the platform. So then another thing that's caught my attention, you got the Ian Lewison fight coming up on the Ringstar Haymaker thing. That's right. So yeah, we're working.
Good. It's good to hear. Look forward to seeing some of those interviews. So
just to let you guys know, hopefully we're going to have Joe Joyce in the studio in the next couple of weeks, so we can talk about the Ian Lewison fight. That'd be something just to bear that in mind, guys. So yeah, it's the big one. You know, it's the one that we've been waiting for the last few years. I just want to give a big shout out to all the people that, you know, get involved with us on social media, quality show, downloads. You know, thank you so much. We're going to be breaking down each fighter, comparing them head to head, and give our predictions. So hopefully you guys, you know, if you're going to put a flutter on, you know who to vote for. You know, as usual, dial in on 01506-243-403 and make sure you get on social media and get your friends involved.
Perfect. So guys, I think it's been, people will say maybe 4 or 5 months in the making, but I think it's fair. This has been about 12 to 18 months in the making in terms of Canelo and Triple G. For me, I'm going to be honest, I'm super excited. I mean, this is a fight, to me, I see it as a pure 50-50. One that, you know, somebody, most analysts could say, this guy's definitely going to win, but I think there's always a reason why the other guy's got a good chance. So, two powerful middleweights, couple of intangibles. We're going to let them bring out the stats on each fighter. But for me, huge 50-50 fight, and I can't wait.
Yeah, so we're going to start off with just going through the tail of the tape and just looking at each of the fighters. We've got Saul Canelo Alvarez, was a junior middleweight, he's recently moved up to middleweight. And we've got Gennady Golovkin, Triple G, he's always been a middleweight, you know, so the size advantage, theoretically, would be with Triple G. Canelo's coming into his 27, he's going to be 27 in the next few months. Triple G is 34 years of age. So there is a age difference there, and it seems like one is coming to his prime and one is probably coming down to the other end of his career. That's something we want to pick up on. Size-wise, they both look very similar. You know, I mean, if you look at them, Triple G looks a lot bigger, but most of the publications you read, they seem to be very, very similar size. Canelo is 5'9" with a 70-inch reach. Triple G, 5'10" with a 70-inch reach as well. Canelo's got a 49-1-1 with 34 KOs, 70% ratio. He's had the likes of Cotto and Mayweather, both first ballot Hall of Famers, you know. And he's based in Mexico. And on the other side, you've got Triple G with a record of 37-0, 33 KOs, a massive 90% ratio, something that's seriously going to have an impact on this fight, something a lot of people are going to be predicting, and whether Canelo can withstand his power. So with that, my man Kojo is going to go head to head and deal with each of...
I'll say head to head, but I mean, it's just, I guess the key thing is just to like ask a couple of questions to obviously the guests and Inam as well. And just for the listeners, and we're going to dissect this fight a little bit, but then we are going to come out to the line. So please be patient. We'll be coming out and we want your opinions and we want your comments. But guys, I'm going to say, and this is a question to both of you, or Dwayne, okay. In terms of advantages, we're going to look at key areas. So from a hand speed perspective, who do you feel has the advantage within hand speed between Golovkin and Canelo, and why do you say such?
I say Canelo's got the advantage with hand speed. Mm-hmm. Like, he usually attacks in 3 to 4 hit combos.
Yep.
Body shots, head shots. Perfect display was when he fought Liam Smith.
Yeah,
I think it was. Yeah, and the way how he worked the body then straight up top to the head, like his hand speed, you can't predict the shots that he's gonna throw. Mm. I mean, Triple G does work the body as well. He's won a few fights with body shots, but 9 times out of 10, maybe I could be totally wrong to say that, but usually he goes for head shots, yeah. Right? Those odd, strange angles, yep. Right at the top of the forehead and all, it's this like kind of craziness. Yeah.
At the head.
Whereas Canelo, I think he's got more of a variety.
I would agree.
You know? Yeah.
You know, as we're talking about this, I can feel the goosebumps coming up, man.
I'm telling you. You know?
Robert, what about yourself, man? Would you feel
hand speed?
Yeah,
I second that. I think if you're talking about hand speed, it's Canelo, hands down. He's got super quick hands. His punch selection is really top notch. As Dee said, he goes to the body, then goes back up top. The only thing I would say that Triple G can kind of counteract that is that his accuracy. Triple G is extremely accurate. Mm-hmm. He's very much a sharpshooter. He's very similar to Errol Spence. When he sees the eye on the target, he will hit that target very, 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 very accurately, and he will snap that head right back with that jab.
I think that's a good point that you touched on, and people are not speaking about that. I think one is variety, but then his efficiency. He is a punch efficient boxer. He doesn't, apart from the Mayweather fight, you don't really see him just swinging loosely and wildly at his targets. He's always quite methodical. If he's going for the body, he's working the body, then he's coming in with an uppercut and he's coming back in with a big right. So he's got a good system in terms of how he throws his punches, and I think that is another interesting thing for me in terms of this fight.
The only thing I would probably add to that, sorry, the thing about Canelo is that I think a lot of the fights that he's had, barring Lara and a few other guys, Mayweather, etc., a lot of them are kind of tailor-made for him, so they literally stand there and allow him to tee off. So it's going to be interesting to see how Canelo is fighting with an opponent that is going to be going forward and throwing a high volume amount of punches.
And quickly going back to that hand speed point as well, you know, the two or three fighters that sort of troubled Triple G to some extent, they were guys with fast hand speed, like Willie Monroe Jr., right? Very fast, he was catching Triple G often, but he probably didn't have the power to do much damage. Same thing with Jacobs. Jacobs is another one who's got fast hands, was moving around a lot, another guy that caused a lot of problems. So that's a key factor going into this. The fact that Canelo's got that faster hand speed definitely, is a big tick in his favour for myself.
And okay, so then moving on to that, power. And this is going to be a tough one. Robert, who do you see as the more powerful boxer?
It's all day Triple G.
Yeah.
He's like the Undertaker of the 160 division.
Yeah.
He's the guy that no one wants to face. Everyone's dodging him.
Yeah.
His power, it's weird though, because I spoke to another pro boxer and he was basically saying, he's never sparred the guy, but he was saying that Triple G's power, it's not concussive, he's not a David Haye, he's not a Mike Tyson, he doesn't put you to bed. If anything, Lemieux might be a more concussive puncher than Triple G, but Triple G is more of a thudding puncher. When he hits you, you feel those shots through your body, and you don't want to take any more of that, and that can just change the whole dynamic of the fight. So that's why it's interesting to see how Canelo actually reacts. Although he's sparred with Triple G, how is he going to react when he starts to feel that fudder to the body and to the head?
That's something Martin Murray was saying as well. He was saying, if anything, he finds George Groves has more concussive power than Triple G, but it's like what you said, it's when it hits you, it's like a shotgun going off. And you hear, when this guy lands on them pads, it's like a shotgun going off. I think that's quite conclusive, isn't it, with like Triple G having the power.
I think it's hard to argue. I mean, you look at the knockout ratio, fair enough, the caliber of opponents haven't been as high as Canelo's to some degree, but I think it goes about saying, when you see the way he fights, the way he's very strong with the jab, and when he gets to work the body and he starts landing big shots, I mean, the reaction from their faces, I mean, who's the guy, the American guy that Willie, he fought Stevenson. Yeah. Yeah. That was a very iconic look when he gets
like he saw a ghost.
And he looks up and he's like, what is going on? Like, what's hit me? So I think that's very, very conclusive in terms of the power. So for me, I would agree with you. So in terms of punch combinations, who do you think favours it?
I think for sure, again, I'll say Canelo. I mean, I can't remember the name of the fighter. Is it Franklin? He was under 50 Cent.
Oh, Kirk Franklin.
Kirk Franklin. I don't know if you guys or the listeners saw the Canelo-Kirk Franklin fight.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a horrifying beating that he gave him. He looked like he'd been attacked by a wild bull.
James Kirkland. That was a beatdown, man.
That's, I guess that's what makes this fight, that you've got two people that go in there and destroy it. Almost like, maybe I'll get shot down for saying this, but they're kind of like modern day Mike Tysons as far as their highlight reels are concerned. If you was to watch Canelo highlight reels or Triple G highlight reels, you're just going to see ass whippings. You're going to see horrible beatings.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're coming together, it's good for boxing. Yeah. Man.
What I will say is, and I think I definitely know what you mean when you say the show reel and the Mike Tyson. The one thing where I think maybe lets Canelo down a little bit is that his knockout ratio is not that high. So if he's not stopping a lot of guys, he's putting a beating on them. That's clear. We saw that with Chavez Jr.'s, you know, we saw that with Mosley. Yeah, went to a decision as well. But stopping them, especially when you're coming up against somebody like Golovkin, is quite key, because you need your opponent to have a bit of fear. And my thing is Triple G, does he fear Canelo? That's a question. Before we keep going through, do you think Triple G looks at Canelo anyway and thinks, I could get hurt here?
Nah, I don't think he does. And I think the evidence is quite comprehensive in that, because, you know, you had people like Cotto who've survived against Canelo. Maybe you've got even people like Matthew Hatton. Like, you got a long list of people who have Mosley, they've made it to the 12th round with Canelo,
and that was the old Mosley.
And these are some of the more welterweights, and some of them are junior middleweights. Not a single one, forget Chavez, is a middleweight. Right, so going into this, I don't think Triple G is going to have any fear of being knocked out. I don't think he's got that worry.
Nothing to worry about. It's very similar to when he fought Kell Brook. You know, Kell Brook was known as a big guy in the 147 division. And Triple G just walked straight through his punches.
Yeah.
And his style is the Mexican style. Walk him down. I'll receive three punches to land my big one or two. Mm.
So on that then, what do we say about Jacobs? Because I'm going to go on record. I still think Triple G, I think he got lucky with that fight. I think Jacobs put not necessarily a beating on him, but I think he gave him so much trouble. He didn't allow Golovkin to throw enough shots to necessarily say that he won that fight conclusively. Okay. Now, I know he knocked him down. That was obviously pretty early in the fight. But for me, it was just that towards the end of the fight, I just felt Jacobs used the right tactics in the game plan to throw the jab, throw big rights at him. And I remember one time he's like saying, come on, let's go. Mm-hmm. And Triple G was even a bit surprised in terms of what to do next. So do you think there's an angle there for Canelo to exploit with?
If I'm going to just make a point of this, because it's something I was reading up on, right? And the key thing you've got to bear in mind is Jacobs and Canelo are totally different fighters, right? So I don't think we can read into that performance to see how Canelo's going to fight like that. Jacobs is much bigger than Canelo. That's the first thing. And his size would have worn out Triple G, without a doubt. Holding him, pushing him, moving a lot around the ring. You know, there was a lot of that. So
he's a bigger guy and he was able to move around the ring, surely Canelo, who's used to fighting at higher weight, will also be able to move around the ring and use his strength. No?
But Canelo's not someone who fights in the back foot. He doesn't move around a lot.
Well, he does in terms of when he goes to the ropes. If you think when he lets guys attack him, I mean, Khan's the worst example because he knew he was going to knock Khan out. But there was moments where he just kind of, and even in the Kirkland fights that he's won, he just sits on the ropes and he rests a little bit. So
he rests, but what I'm trying to say, he's not a back foot fighter per se. You see what I'm trying to say? He's very much like the forward. He will come to you, you know, he'll be waiting for you. You try and land, he's going to counterpunch you. That's Canelo. So that's, you know, you got to look at these variables, and I don't think we can read too much into Jacobs' fight as well. So when people saying he was deteriorating as well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of factors you've got to look into that as well. I don't think it's deteriorating. I think
by saying that as well, they're giving Brook too much credit because they say, oh, you look at the Brook, he was exposed. I think, to me, Triple G's always had a poor defence, and that's where he could lose his fight, because defensively, I mean, that's the next point. So I'm going to say defensively, in my opinion, Canelo has the better defence. I don't know what you guys feel.
Back onto your point, you made a good point about the Jacobs fight. I think a lot of people say that Jacobs exposed Triple G, but I don't really think that was the case. A lot of people don't also forget that Jacobs, he didn't turn up for the IBF weigh-in because he wanted to go in heavier. So his punch resistance could be a lot stronger. So technically, I think he weighed around the 180s, and obviously Triple G turned up to defend his belt for the weigh-in, so he weighed in around 169. So technically, Triple G's fighting a cruiserweight in there, and he still put Jacobs on his bum. So, but the thing about Jacobs, he did have flurries of looking good. He had some great footwork, some great counter-punching, but he didn't engage enough. He was still boxing a little bit too scared, and he should have pushed the fight, and I think that's why the judges gave it to Triple G.
Yeah, fair point.
Okay, then back to the defense. D, what do you think, man? Who's got the better defensive skill from the two?
I'd have to say Canelo, because every fight Triple G's been involved in, he makes it very clear that he's quite happy to take shots. He's got no qualms in taking shots, so I wouldn't even say he's got a good defense. But I think a thing to bear in mind is that with Triple G, he has the ability to change his game if he chooses to. I mean, what is it, over 300 amateur fights?
350 amateur fights.
And I've heard rumours behind the scenes that he used to be involved in a lot of street fighting before that as well. So you're talking about a guy with a real serious fighting brain, right?
Do you know what I mean? He's been fighting since like 8-9 years of age. Exactly. Man. That's all he's known.
So I think he decides how he's going to conduct himself in a fight based on the opponent. Again, if we're talking defense, that's why I say Canelo's got the better defense, because Triple G just storms out. But we don't know what Triple G will do if he's faced against somebody like Canelo. And with that said, you've got to give Canelo credit, because he went pro when he was 15 years old. So you're talking about two serious guys
these
here.
These guys have got a lot of fights, rounds on their CV, no matter what you want to say about either of the two fighters. So I think the flip side to that is the offense. And offensively, who's the better fighter?
I think offensively, I'm gonna go with Triple G, man. I just think he's just got the, you know, the power. You know, he's in his favor. He's got an iron chin, so he's just not scared to come forward. He's not scared of taking a couple of punches to land. So you know, because he's just got that belief in himself. If I connect with you, you're going down.
He just storms ahead.
You know, and it's just the way his footwork. You know, you move to the right, he's going to the right. You go to the left, you know, he's just in front of you. He's going nowhere. You know, and this fight, I'm convinced, will be Triple G will be on the front foot. I cannot see for one second Canelo being able to push him back. I can't see him push back. So it's going to be, it's going to be very much a case of Triple G coming forward, pushing Canelo back, and his great offensive skills, I think, will cause issues. That's what I'm going with.
Okay. I mean, we'll get to predictions later, but yeah, I mean, it's hard to. I think when you look at the knockout ratio of Golovkin in the past fights, you have to say that he's got the better offense. Technically, does he throw great variety of shots in terms of, you know, does he do things that are quite eye-catching the way Mayweather does? I'll say definitely not, but I think he's definitely the more offensive fighter. I think you can't really make a clear defense for Canelo apart from his combination punching. I think that is a key thing for him, and that, for me, is why within the fight, I think he's going to have a lot of success, because I think if he can slip past Golovkin's jab and come in and counter with 2-3 shots, then I think you're going to see a stronger offensive game. And I think that's when he's going to make Golovkin think a bit more, because I think, I agree with you, he won't push him back with a jab, but I think when he hits Golovkin, Golovkin's not going to just keep coming forward in a sense of, I want this guy to hit me, because he's going to get knocked out. I think there's no two ways about that. So he would need to improve defensively.
So a couple of key statistics here, you know, it's a Friday from Cormier. I feel like people should know this, right? You know, defensively, right? Canelo gets hit a lot less than Triple G. That's according to CompuBox records. And in terms of punching, right, Canelo, he averages about 30 to 40 punches a round, right? Whereas someone like Canelo or Triple G is averaging 70 to 80 punches a round. So his output is almost
double.
But is
that including the jab, though?
It's just all types of punches, all round, you know. So based on that, we can see his punch output is significantly a lot more. You know, so I'm just taking
But I would say, for me, with that stat, I think you've got to look at the opponents he's faced as well. So when you're facing guys like Mike Myers, okay, but he's not the greatest. I think you can have a high output from them, because those guys won't throw anything to trouble you back. So I think it's slightly difficult, because if you ask me who's got the better CV, I would say Canelo's got the better CV, in my opinion.
Yeah, as far as opponents,
but not at middleweight.
Yeah.
But you could say not at middleweight.
But it's all throughout. You know? All throughout.
Yeah.
So
it's mad. It's debatable, because Canelo, I mean, he was a 154 champ, right? But he never fought any of the Charlos. He never fought Demetrius Andre.
I think he lost against Lara.
Lara was hugely debatable. And it's like a lot of the guys he's beat, and it's similar to Triple G, where he's been the bigger guy. He's had the size advantage. So he was really tested, Canelo, besides Mayweather. With Triple G, you can at least say that he's been in there with Lemieux.
He's fought a faded Cotto as well. A faded Cotto.
Yeah, he's been in there with Gabe Rosado. He's a tough kid. He's been in there with Monroe, Stevenson.
Don't forget, Rosado lost to Murray. So
that was hugely debatable.
But my point is, just from a basic loss. So for me, I won't say he's up there. I think Macklin.
Yeah.
But again, the key point I'm going to bear in mind, this is a middleweight fight. Yeah, and that's hugely significant.
But you would argue that he's fought near enough at middleweight. When he fought Mayweather, he came in at 160, 165 anyway.
I know, but what I'm trying to say is he doesn't have the experience of fighting and feeling the force or having the strength to push back middleweight fight. This is really his first fight, man.
Legit
middleweight. So this is like, he's going to new grounds. And he's going to new grounds, and he's fighting the beast of the division. I mean, that is a...
What happened with Andre Ward?
Andre Ward is different level, man.
No, I'm just saying. But it's not a different level, man. But you've got to look at it on the basis of, just because somebody's going up for the first time, there's throughout the history of boxing, people have gone up at weight and still conquered the so-called beast. So for me, I don't see that as really a reason as to why he's going to suffer. I think he's fought as a middleweight for most of his career, to be truth. He's just never fought guys in the opponents. I'll totally give you that. You look at Smith, you look at Khan, they were never that size. But he's walked around, he's carried that weight. For me, I think the Chavez fight was interesting because he used him as a punching bag. So it was a... Why, for example, did you stand up? I think he was really trying to improve his stamina. Unfortunately, Chavez didn't hit him back. That would have been the key thing, because my only question mark for Canelo around this whole fight is, can he take the power of Triple G in terms of when he hits him, not even flush on the arms, on the shoulders, you know, just like shoulder on the sides, all that type of stuff. How does he react to that? And I think that's where we're going to find out where this fight can be won or lost.
That kind of sparked my mind. I don't know if it's a point that we're going to address
at some point, but
I think Oscar De La Hoya might have protected him too much because he should have maybe given him a half decent middleweight fight before going in with Triple G. Like you said, to get used to the bigger opponent, the size, etc. That Chavez fight to me was a disgrace to boxing, in all honesty, because
trust me,
he was weight drawn as much as you could be weight drawn. Exactly. It was ridiculous. So
there's like, you just got still a bit of water there, man. Just soaked it out.
On the rim wall. It was ridiculous.
Just strip that bit of water out there.
I just thought it was ridiculous. So I don't think that was a good measurement for Canelo to even go into the Triple G fight. I think it was just more like a publicity stunt, because straight after the fight, you had Triple G walk in the ring, blah blah blah. It was like give him an easy work.
And it was that whole,
give him a Mexican name.
He had a Mexican rivalry.
It was like Christmas time for Triple G.
Chavez Jr., Canelo.
The thing that I found amazing about that whole situation is that the fans that actually like Canelo, they're boxing purist fans more so. They're Mexican. His biggest fight fan base are Mexicans, and they know boxing, so who are they fooling with this Chavez fight? Do you know what I mean? It's just ridiculous.
I think it's like you said, they didn't fool really nobody. I think going into it, we've kind of thought it could be competitive, but once sort of like you got to the third round, you're thinking, what is Chavez Jr.?
He's a disgrace.
So guys, listen, we're going to open up the phones, open up the lines quickly. So going to go out to 860 860, the floor is yours. Hello
Lance.
How you doing, mate? You all right?
Hello.
Is that Paul?
Yeah, I'm good to use.
Yeah. How you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, all good.
Question or statement?
That work again?
Yeah.
More of a statement. I was doing the comparing of the coaches. The main thing that stands out between the two is Canelo's been with his since day dot. They've brought him up since he was a 13-year-old boy. They've trained throughout his full career with him. But Triple G, Abel Sanchez didn't inherit him until 18-0. And at the time, he was a more Eastern European type boxer, because he still had the amateur style behind his jab, didn't really engage as much. But Sanchez, being a Mexican coach, he's brought it in to his style, that he fights a Mexican style.
But which coach has the more world championship experience between the two? Between Sanchez and the Chepo's.
Abel Sanchez has trained 14 boxers to world champions. He's had Terry Norris, Orlin Norris, Paul Varden, Lupe Aquino. He's had the likes of Kovalev up there. He trains, is it Gassiev? I think he trains.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that... So who's the advantage with then?
I'd say Abel Sanchez, but then that's in terms of his experience. Mm-hmm. But then in terms of knowing your fighter, I think Eddie and Chepo know Canelo more because they've brought him up from there. 18-year-old, they turned him pro at 15 because he was battering all the juniors around, so they had to turn him pro to find him fights.
Okay.
So who do you think is going to come out with the game plan that's going to win this fight, and what is the game plan going to be?
I think more game plan wise, I think Canelo's team, because Triple G knows that he can just rough it out and he can have a scrap and fight. That's generally how he fights, but I don't think toe-to-toe, Canelo, even though I think Canelo's going to win, I don't think toe-to-toe he can stand and have it with Triple G. I think he's going to have to use his boxing ability more and win the rounds, because I think he's going to win on points.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Paul. So, Paul, listen, make sure you stay on the line. We're going to be talking about the Saunders and Monroe fight afterwards, but we're going to move on to another caller. But appreciate your call, and we've got a note of your prediction. All right, take it easy.
Yeah, no problem.
Cheers, thank you. 348. Hello, 348.
You're right.
We can't hear you. Hello? Tom Lyons?
Yeah, hi, Tom. Yeah, Lyons.
How you doing, mate? You alright?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. So, what's your question or statement?
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys a question. I was just going to ask, how do you think Canelo will be able to nullify GGG's power? And would you agree that the two most underestimated factors going into the fight would be Canelo's power in terms of his accuracy and his combination of punches and GGG's boxing ability?
Do you want to take that question?
Sorry, could you repeat that again, please? Apologies.
Yeah, I was going to say, how does Canelo nullify GGG's power? And would you agree that the two most underestimated factors are Canelo's power in terms of his accuracy and combination of punches and GGG's power? I mean, GGG's boxing ability.
I think as far as Canelo nullifying Triple G, I think he has to use a lot of footwork. He has to try and avoid being cut off, being pinned onto the back to the ropes.
Head movement.
Yep, I was
riding
gonna say
the shots.
Exactly, a lot of head movement and hope to tire Triple G out. I think there's a number of factors that have been underestimated, and I guess to answer your question, I hope it doesn't sound too indirect, but the beauty of boxing is that it will be told on the 16th, so I just can't really wait.
No, that's definitely a fair point. And so, Tom, you mentioned Triple G's boxing ability. I mean, do you rate him highly as a boxer and not a brawler?
Well, I mean, like, in terms of, like, his boxing ability, I think the questions that are going to be asked is whether Canelo, if he does act the aggressor throughout the fight and pushes and is able to push Golovkin back onto the back foot, how is he going to deal with that, not being comfortable boxing on the back foot if he is forced to do that?
Okay. So, and what's your prediction?
Canelo on points.
Canelo on points. All right. That's another one. We got that noted. All right. Yeah. Cheers, Tom. We're going to move on. But thanks for the call and supporting as usual. 012. We're coming out to you. The floor is yours. Hello.
Hi, mate. It's Joey. Is Joey okay?
How you doing, Joe? You well?
How's the line? Is it?
Yeah. No, you sound good. We can hear you.
Good.
Hello, mate.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, go on. I can hear you, mate. Sorry.
No, so the question or statement?
Well, neither, really. I just wound up to discuss it quickly. I don't think Canelo's got enough to beat Golovkin. I think too many of his wins and his performances have been overrated due to the opponent, to be honest.
So you think Canelo's slightly overrated and Triple G's got this in the bag?
Yeah, I'm going about Canelo's boxing ability, but he's looked good against the likes of Smith and Chavez. I mean, Amir Khan completely outboxed him. Lara completely outboxed him. There wasn't much boxing ability there for me. Don't know about yourself, but I think he'll outbox Golovkin. I think it might sound daft, this, but I think Golovkin's ability lies with his movement and his feet, not necessarily like with his hands, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that, Joe. I mean, I would say there is a blueprint there. You know, there's been a blueprint there. You know, maybe we're showing a blueprint. I think Lara beat him.
Yeah.
I think Khan was doing very well for those 5 or 6 rounds before he got stopped, right?
I didn't give him a single round against Khan until he knocked him out. I didn't give him a single round.
Well, the judges had Khan winning the fight up until he got knocked out, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah. So,
I was just listening to what Tom said then, and I think if when Golovkin starts to back Canelo up, I think Canelo has got the skill, especially in the early rounds, to move out of it. Whereas I think Golovkin, you've seen him when he's been maybe not pushed back, but when he's had a bit of pressure put on him by Brook and by Jacobs, his sort of way out is just to throw a big left hook or a big right hook, and then the fact that the sort of sequence gets broken up. Whereas Canelo has got the skill to sort of like check hook and spin off it, where I haven't really seen that Golovkin.
Mm.
Whether that's because he can't or he hasn't had to.
I was just going to say that he hasn't had to, has he?
I would have said that against Jacobs he had to, and I didn't see that. And that's where I felt that he showed flaws.
He did it against Brooker quite a few times as well, and he just his sort of way out of it is just a big shotgun. Do you know what I mean? The opponent tends to back up a little bit then. Because even if he doesn't hit you in the face or the chin, he hits you in the arms. Or anywhere he hits you, he hurts you, doesn't he, by the looks of it.
Exactly.
So what's your prediction, Joe?
But yeah, I mean, I see Canelo dominating early doors. I don't think he'll hurt Golovkin early, but I think he'll keep him at bay with his jab and counter-punching. But I think if the fight draws, you know, into towards like 9, 10, 11, I think Golovkin's just going to be too much for him.
Yeah.
Puts the ring off and... just a relentless pressure. I mean, it's a mental thing as well to be pushed back constantly, and Canelo's not really faced that yet. And I think if Golovkin just pushes him back for sort of 9-10 rounds, I think the stoppage will come, because he has this ability to just pick like the perfect shots, Golovkin. I just see, you know, Canelo not being able to keep his hands up later on or something like that, and something big catching him.
Perfect.
Spot on, mate. Yeah similar to good. My prediction.
So was that Triple G by knockout, Joe?
Say that again, mate.
What's your prediction, mate?
I don't think he'll knock him clean out, but I think he'll stop him. I think
the ref will get involved.
The corner will stop it, or the ref will stop it. It will be the ref.
Okay, thank you.
Interesting. Thanks for that, Joe. So we're going to move on. Appreciate the support as always.
Sounds all right, boys.
Cheers. Thanks. Enjoy your night. So we're moving out to 488. 488. The floor is yours. Hello.
Hey, Kojo. How's it going? It's Dave Johal at Punch Out. How are you?
How you doing, Dave? You're right. So just a bit of background for those. I met Dave yesterday at the Joshua Pulev press conference. Appreciate you calling in, Dave. How you doing?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. Did you get home safely yesterday?
Yep, got home safely from that long trek from Cardiff, mate. It was a lot of train journeys and a lot of fields and a lot of sheep, but we got there in the end. And I'm glad to hear you got back safely as well. Not too long of a drive.
Yeah, it was okay. It was okay. So, just my thoughts on Canelo, really, just touching upon yesterday. Like you, I've been flip-flopping, you know, 1 minute Canelo, 1 minute GGG. I've actually made a firm decision this time, and it's going to be Canelo on point.
Good to hear.
I'm picking Canelo, reason being, because I've seen a lot of GGG, and I think he's fading, if I'm being honest. I think the way Cal Brook was landed at will, and some people have argued saying, look, he allowed Cal Brook to hit him, and that made a big difference. But I honestly think he was just getting caught. Yes, he was a smaller man, but I think Cal Brook was catching him at a will. And then also, looking at the Danny Jacobs fight, he didn't look like his former self. He looked kind of faded. So I think Canelo's going to win, but it's not going to be an easy night, and it's going to be on point. If I'm being honest.
Yeah. No, good, great prediction.
But the key to it is, for me, I think Canelo needs to get out the gate fast and start fast, not basically go in there slowly. He needs to bulldoze. GGG needs to be more aggressive. Yes, he's more of a counter-puncher, but he needs to basically put it on him from get-go, and I think that's how he's going to win. And I think he's going to wear GGD down and win on points.
Dave, do you think he's going to be fighting? Is Canelo going to be fighting a lot on the back foot? And when you say he's going to wear Triple G down, are you saying he's actually going to manage to push Triple G back?
I think he will, and I think the age difference is going to have a lot to do with it. I mean, let's not forget, you know, he's not even 30, he's not even in his 30s yet, and he's fighting in his prime. He's a young gun, and I think he's got the reflexes to do it. GGG is in his, what is he now, mid-30s?
He's 34, 35. You know, yeah.
Yeah, 35, you know.
Still in your prime now.
What did you think? Do you think he looked ordinary against Jacob?
Yeah, I think, I'm going to say that, speak for it. I think most people felt he looked poor against Jacobs. Some may say he got the win, others may say not, but I don't know. I don't think he was his impressive self. I felt he faced somebody that wasn't afraid of him and came to fight. And I think that was a key point. So for me, that's where I see the slight flaws in him. You speak about defensive ability, and
yeah.
One thing I feel we haven't spoken about with Canelo is that actually he's pretty good at slipping and evading shots as well. But Triple G, even if he hits you on your shoulders, you know, your elbows, there's going to be the power. So that's where I feel for me is going to be an interesting fight. Triple G, the age thing, I'm not so sure. I mean, I actually thought they would make this fight next year, where Triple G would feel the effects of his age. At 34, I'm still not sure, because he's not a high mileage fighter. You know what I mean? He hasn't been through the war, so maybe his body could be in decent shape. And he's cut the weight really well. The last sort of few pictures I saw of him, he looked like he was in good shape. So, yeah, that was my opinion on that.
For me, I think people.
He did. I mean, another thing is. Sorry, guys, but another thing as well, with the game that, you know, GGG, he fought Lemieux, he fought Willie Monroe Jr., he's made these fighters look absolutely ordinary. And that's when I was sitting on the fence thinking, shall I go with Canelo? Shall I go with GGG? But he's made these men look ordinary as well. So, and look what David Lemieux's gone on to. You know, he could potentially be fighting Cotto in December. But I don't know. I think the age, I think Father Time catches up with everyone. And Canelo, yeah, I'm
going to
go with Canelo. Canelo's
going to
do it on point.
Perfect.
Don't sound sure.
Yeah.
Wait till the weigh-in, mate.
Yeah, exactly. You've still got a few more days to change your mind. But listen, Dave, thank you for calling in. Hopefully we get to link up again in the future. Appreciate the support. And I hope you got some good footage of Joshua that you guys are happy with as well.
Can I make a quick comment before we go?
Yeah, sorry, Kate.
This is strange. I'm into obviously several sports, but the saying of you're only as good as your last fight, I think a lot of the fight fans... I'm not talking about any particular individuals, but I think a lot of the fight fans hang on to the saying of you're as good as your last fight. Because it's like, if Man United, right, they played Bournemouth, smashed them 4-0, they went on the next weekend and played, I don't know, Southampton, smashed them again 4-0, then went and played at Arsenal and only beat them 2-1. Fans don't say, oh, Man United are slipping now, they're declining. They realise that it's just a better calibre of opposition, so they expect a tighter result. But in boxing, it's like, you fight one guy, knock him out, you fight another guy, goes to points, and all of a sudden people are like, oh yeah, he's declining now, mate. He's just at a better level of opposition.
I agree with that.
You've got to bear in mind, you know, he's constantly beating the shit out of guys, right? So suddenly, when someone's made 12 rounds, they're like, he's in decline.
Yeah,
and one other important thought, I don't know whether it's true or not.
But he's a victim of his own success then as well, right?
Yeah.
Fair enough, you know. But, you know, another thing as well that Triple G said as well very recently, he said, look, if I didn't go 12 rounds with Jacobs, this fight wouldn't be happening, you know. So,
a lie, because the fight was already announced before the Jacobs fight. That's why Golovkin called him up straight away. And that's why I think that they're lying about certain things, because you got Abel Sanchez said the same thing. I was like, hang on a minute, as soon as the decision was announced, he called him into the ring, no? Canelo
after
was
the,
there.
After the Chavez fight.
After the Chavez fight. But after the Jacobs fight, wasn't Canelo saying, yeah, we're going to fight next as well? There was a lot more rumours around those two having a contract agreed.
Yeah, and just to add to that, I saw interviews with Eddie Hearn last year, and he was laughing, saying that he's heard that they've scheduled it in for next year, September, and how ridiculous it was.
Yeah.
So when they actually announced it, I thought,
And people have a day off as well, you know.
I mean, I get that, but I think in boxing, days off are not the same in football when you have a day off. Like, you lose a game, you go on, it's fine. Boxing, it affects your reputation, and I get your point, Robert, but I think there is a little bit of truth of you're as good as your last fight. Even when I kind of think back to Klitschko sometimes, you think, when he lost to Fury, he was totally outboxed. Then he fought Joshua. Of course, he still looked good, but actually, were there signs in the Fury fight that showed that he couldn't capitalize on the weaknesses that Joshua showed? Because actually, he didn't really move forward on Fury. You know, he was always kept at bay. And then when he had Joshua for the kill, he couldn't jump on him. And I'm just thinking to myself, was there a sign in the last fight? So, yeah, sometimes yes, sometimes no. But Dave, listen, we're going to let you go. We've got to move on to a couple of other callers. I'm sure that the ears are burning. 985, I think that's our resident, Mr. Appiah. 985?
Hello there, how are we doing? All right?
We're doing all right. You well?
How are you doing, Dan? You all right?
Yeah. I want a double prediction from you today. This guy's a big Billy Joe Saunders fan, so I want a double prediction from you today, Daniel.
Double prediction, right. Top winner in both of them. Triple G, drop Canelo. No problem, right? And
any specific any round early have you got a round in mind? If you haven't,
he'll stop him late. He'll stop him, I reckon, about eight, ninth round.
Nice.
But he's got him definitely 100%. And Billy Joe Saunders is looking quite trim. We know he's got his problems with the disciplinary side of things. I see him doing quite well against Jacobs and
Monroe Jr. Monroe, yeah.
Sorry, my bad. That's right. I think he's dropped him.
Yeah. Interesting. You looking forward to the fights?
Of course I am.
I'm not exposing you, but I'm trying to show that you've been a long time caller of this show and you've been giving us a lot of support. And you've always said that Triple G versus Billy Joe Saunders is the fight that should be made. So on your prediction, that's the fight we need to see next year for full unification.
That is the fight we need to see next year, also 100%.
Perfect.
If it happens, well, you know that I rate Saunders. I think Saunders has got the skills to beat him. I really, really do.
All right, so we'll...
I hope both of them win on Saturday.
Perfect.
That's one dedicated Billy Joe Saunders.
And we'll get to that. So listen, D, thank you very much again. Appreciate all the support. Enjoy your evening and we'll speak soon. Moving to 269. 269, hello.
Hello, it's Jason.
Yes, Jason. Long time. Where you been?
It's been a long time, so I've been going to weddings and stag do's and all of
that. What are you trying to say? It's my fault, yeah?
How you guys?
Good. We're good.
Jason.
Saying, man. Good. We've got Dwayne here from Below the Belt.
How you doing, Jason?
Below the Belt TV. Dwayne, how you doing, man? You alright?
Not too bad, man. Good to hear your voice, bro.
That's good. There as well.
Yeah, we saying, man.
How you doing? You alright?
I'm good, bro. I hope you're recovered from carnival,
all
man.
Good.
Yeah, finally.
I recovered last week, still.
Yeah.
But, it's all good.
So what are you saying, Jason? Statement?
Just a statement. I mean, I'm looking forward to this fight. I've been wondering, you know, when the fight was actually going to be made. Actually, I've got a bit of a question, actually. So, you know, Triple G's last fight, people said it wasn't looking too good. Does anyone feel that he actually done that in order to get a fight with Canelo? Because it seems like the past couple of years, Canelo's been running from him.
I think that's what I was alluding to.
You know, I think that's what Triple G was alluding to as well. Very recently he was saying that. You know, in I think it was in 24/7. You know, Pasco was actually saying, you know, if I didn't fight the way I fought with Jacobs, this fight wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, it's a possibility, therefore.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you've got to look into that because I think, you know, Oscar De La Hoya and these guys have thought, right, he's on the decline. This is the time to make the fight. Yeah. You know, he's Triple G. Canelo is Golden Boy's cash cow. And he's the only guy there, really. I mean, you know, you know, bear in mind, if this was a year ago and Canelo went in and he was absolutely destroyed by Triple G, his image with the Mexican fight public is over. It's shattered, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? And they couldn't risk that. I mean, this guy generates millions upon millions of pounds of revenue, right? So they thought, fuck it. And they waited. They, you know, and bear in mind, if they're not going to risk that then, why would they risk that now?
Yeah.
See, I disagree. I think, don't forget business. Boxing is a business sense. And I think a year ago, Triple G, we saw the kind of numbers he's done from pay-per-view. I don't think they wanted to, they didn't believe that what they had offered him, Triple G didn't think it was big enough, and they thought it was fair enough. So they didn't want to argue then. They didn't want to give fight then. Where I do think Canelo let himself down was giving up the belt after verbally agreeing to fight Triple G. I think that let himself down, and I was a massive critic of his for that, because in my mind I was thinking, you showed that you've said we've got big balls, give me gloves now, I'll fight now, and you vacate, and then you go and fight Liam Smith. Like,
that was the same time he said fuck Glovkin, right?
Yeah. He said that a couple of times as well. I do think there's the business element. I just think, for me, I think this fight, I think they had agreed. I think behind the scenes they had agreed. It's like, look, you win your next two fight, like each fight win their next fight, and this fight's on. I didn't think it would happen this year, but it has. But for me, I can't see. Triple G did not. I don't think he would have looked that poorly and take that risk, such a risk, unless he knew that he had paid the judges, which we don't want to think that's going on. For me, he looked so bad against Jacobs that I can't see he would have done that intentionally. I think that fight was agreed, but then from beforehand.
On the flip side, Kojo, did maybe Jacobs just look that good?
Yeah,
you got to remember, Jacobs is a 100%. Top level middleweight. I mean, he dealt with Peter Quinlan. Peter Quinlan's never been dealt with like that before.
And he is. And fair play, that's a very true point, because with Jacobs, people don't know, he's got a high ratio of first round knockouts. He's probably got one of the highest in the game. So that's a very good point. He looked very good. So who knows?
I think maybe him having cancer perhaps threw people, but he actually did do good in that fight, like Jacobs did.
Yeah,
he did recover from cancer, didn't he?
He's a born fighter. He's a 100% natural born fighter.
Yeah, solid.
And he was massive that night as well.
He was cruiserweight.
Massive, and he, you know, the disadvantage in place was, right, you got one guy who was constrained by IBF rules, and the other guy just opted not to follow them.
Outlaws.
So what if that happens on Saturday?
But they don't happen on Saturday.
Why not?
Because they've changed the rule for Canelo.
Have they?
Yes,
they
have. IBF have changed the rule
where, you know, it's only after these Golden Boy people went to see them and saying, now, right, for unifications, we're no longer going to have the 10-day limit for fight night.
So
it's out.
No same-day weigh-in.
There's no same-day weigh-in, but there's the weigh-in beforehand, right?
Yeah, that's
normal. Okay.
Yeah.
But they can both hydrate.
So he can both. Okay, that's good. That's good.
Put the carbs up. People also forget as well, like, people will say, you know, Triple G had a bad performance against Jacobs, but he put Jacobs on his bum. Mm. Like, do you know what I mean? People never give Triple G the credit.
On a day off.
He rocked him, put him on his bum.
But so he didn't really. And I agree with you, he did, but it wasn't like he finished him. Most of his opponents, when he puts them down.
That was a size advantage that plays a huge part. You put down a cruiserweight on his bum, he's getting back up. There's a reason why he didn't attend the IBF weigh-in.
I mean, it's different. I agree with you on that. But I think for the knockdown, I think if Triple G was the killer that we'd known in past fights shown, he would have finished him. So I don't think he was wobbled. I think we've seen knockdowns, but actually they just get up and they can continue fighting. And they can go and look stronger. Look at Joshua and Klitschko. Sorry to bring that back, but he knocked him down, Klitschko. Joshua knocked Klitschko down. By the end of that round, Klitschko really still won that fight. Yeah, won that round. So, yeah, it swings and roundabouts. But Jason, come on, give us your prediction.
Say Glovkin
10th
round knockout.
That was said with conviction.
Yeah, he believes
it. Done your homework, Jason. Done your homework.
Another thing I've noticed as well. See, like people in America, they just rate Canelo so much, and they hardly. I don't really think Glovkin gets his true ratings. Really,
it's the Mexican fan base that he's got.
10th round.
Yeah, I would. Do you know what, Jay? I would say outside of the Mexican, I think the Mexicans definitely support Canelo, but I think Triple G gets a lot of love in the US, to be honest.
Yeah, they love him. Yeah, he gets a lot of love.
Yeah, I think he gets a lot of love. I just don't think it translates into pay-per-view.
Yep, that's the point.
Though. Yeah,
that's the issue, though, isn't it?
It doesn't translate into pay-per-view numbers.
The difference between these two guys is Canelo's got hardcore fan base, whereas Triple G hasn't. Casual. He's got loads of fans, and they talk whack on social media. Don't get me wrong; they're probably the most annoying fans after Lomachenko fans. Yeah,
or McGregor fans.
Or McGregor fans. Same.
Nah, I think Pacquiao fans are worse.
Same category. Right. And the thing is, how you know that ultra fucking casual is when it comes to put your money in your pocket, they're nowhere to be seen. You know, in a nutshell,
I think it's definitely. I don't know. I think Dwayne just made the core point. I think because there's a lot of Mexicans in America, they sort of relate to their own. So I think that's why Canelo gets a huge fan base. And obviously, Triple G being from Eastern Europe, he doesn't do well with self promotion. So you know, he just doesn't have that core fan base there.
Yeah. Right, Wicked Jason. We're going to leave you to it. But appreciate you calling in. We've got your prediction. We hope that we hear from you next week as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Take it easy, bro. Thanks, man. All right, we're moving out to 081. 081, the floor is yours. As if I can sort myself out. Hello?
How you doing, guys? Nicholas here.
Nicholas, another long-time caller. You see, the big fights bring out the
big guns.
The big guns.
The big guns come out for the big fights. Nicholas, how are you?
The alumni.
Everybody's cleared out their schedule now, finally, so they can start calling again, you know?
Yeah, that's true. It's been summer. It's been busy summer. So what are you saying, man?
I've been all right, guys. How you guys
Comment
doing?
Ça
va? Ça va très bien, mon frère, et toi?
Yeah, now you ain't gonna say shit.
All I can say is Beku.
Yeah, let's start. Alright, so Nicholas, what are we saying? Question or statement?
Well, a little bit of both, really. So my first question is, obviously, just in a little bit on what Jason said. A lot of people have been saying that, you know what, Triple G looked very poor in the last two fights against Jacobs and Brooke. But is anybody really to think that actually Brooke and Jacob, they are good attacking boxers, and that's why they made Triple G look bad, not because he was off, just because he actually came across decent boxers.
So this is a point we picked up on earlier. Mm. You know, it seems that his weakness is guys with hard, fast hands. You know, Brooke, Jacobs, William Monroe Jr. So that is something I think we're going to pick up later on, but hand speed and fast fighters
and lack of defense
lack of
defense.
Because me personally, every time when everybody was going mad about Triple G, I was always thinking, you know what, he's never really been tested, he's never really fought somebody who's really good offensively. And to me, the way he watching those fights against Brooke and Jacobs just kind of confirmed to me that, you know what, he hasn't got a good defense. It's just all about attacking when somebody's really kind of easy to get there, but if somebody can counterattack with good hands and fast hands, he has issues.
Mm. So what do you think of the Lemieux fight, though?
He just came across guys that actually could box and could hit also, which showed the flaws that he had in his game, that he has in his game.
And so, Robert just asked you, did you see the David Lemieux fight against Triple G?
Not properly, to be honest.
You should watch that again, man, because I hear what you're saying, definitely. He's definitely got room for improvement on his defense, but it will get told on Saturday, but we just don't know whether it's because he just doesn't respect any of his opponents, or is it because of his Mexican style. But against Lemieux, he did change it up slightly, because Lemieux is a big banger in the 160 division, so he utilized the jab a lot, and he had that high guard. And also, obviously it was years ago, but check out a fight with... I think it was Anthony Durrell and Triple G fought in the Junior Olympics. That was a really good fight. So that will showcase Triple G's defensive skills. But yeah.
Well, you got to bear in mind, the guy's had 350 amateur fights. I mean, no one's taking that into account. Yeah. You know, so he's, you know, people talk about Canelo's got a great resume, but you got to bear in mind, you know, Golovkin, he's fought during the amateurs, he's fought the best of the best, the cream of the cream of super middleweights, light heavyweights, you know, and he's beating them.
And in his weight division, he has all the belts bar one.
Bar one, you know. Which, you know, if he pulls through, you know, I would think if Billy Joe Saunders fights him, he'll get it.
Yeah, definitely. Say again, mate?
So because of that, because I think that he's not the best defensively, that is why, on my statement, I'm thinking that Canelo is going to win this fight on Saturday. I think it's going to be tight, But I just see the only issue is Canelo's not really a busy fighter. I think if he really steps up his activity in this fight and he does what he's supposed to do, technically Triple G is not beating him. And
I think he's going to guess, though.
By point.
Yeah, he will.
And the thing is, again, going back to what somebody mentioned earlier, when Triple G is kind of backed up, he doesn't really have a defense where he can block and move himself out of the way. He just throws and he starts to brawl. And I think if he goes into the later stages and he starts to brawl with Canelo, Canelo can hit him with one of those serious hooks. He can do some serious damages. So do not be shocked if there's a knockdown there somewhere.
But
not coming from the Triple G side, from Canelo's side. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Can I just ask you one question before you go, though? We've never really seen Canelo take a shot. And he hasn't even been prepared to take a shot of the level from Triple G. So that's
let alone middleweight. Let alone middleweight. Yeah. Let alone someone like Triple G.
Yeah.
What punches has he been in there with Canelo? Basically.
Canelo has not been with Steve. Not been with Steve's punches.
I mean, to be fair,
But then again, Canelo does have a good defense. He has a better defense than Triple G. And to me, Triple G, when I saw him with Jacobs, if Jacobs was a little bit more, a little bit more confident, because I thought Jacobs kind of won that fight. But because obviously he's a champion and the Canelo fight was around the corner, whatever happened, happened. But to me, it was not a win for me in Triple G. At best, it was a draw. Mm. But because whatever happened, so they gave it to Triple G. But if Jacobs could do that to him, and Jacobs was already a good fighter, and Triple G struggled a lot. So I think, really, Canelo can probably win this fight. But it's true that Canelo has not been tested that way.
That's a very valid point. I don't think a lot of people have considered that, really. Canelo has never really fought a hard-punching fighter, has he?
He doesn't.
No. Never fought. And you've got to ask the question, why? People tend to avoid the guys that, where they have weakness, So... And he's never fought a hard punching fighter. Exactly. He never fought the Charlos. He never fought, people like that.
The Charlos is a bit too.
No, why, man?
Because those guys have just come in. Cotto was known for being a banger.
Not like
Triple G. But when Mayweather fought him, the first thing he said was, "Cotto's a banger." So Cotto's a banger. So I think to say he hasn't fought any bangers is totally unfair. I think you're comparing him to Triple G.
Well, Cotto's got respectable power.
Nobody
in boxing really has the same sort of power as Triple G, regardless. Even if you go up to super middle, who's got the same type of power as him? I think
David Lemieux is a guy who's got serious power. Daniel Jacobs.
Apart from Jacobs, David Lemieux hasn't got that kind of power.
David Lemieux is a banger, man.
You see what he did to Stevenson.
That.
His knockout ratio is like...
Two good knockouts, in my opinion. Mm. Outside of that, I don't think he's faced that many bangers. For me, Canelo hasn't fought punching. That's what I'm saying. It's how he deals with the punches. But you've got to catch to hit and to hurt. You've got to land.
But that's
if he
the
doesn't,
interesting point.
Exactly.
What happens?
Do you
because
think...
Ward hadn't fought anybody as powerful as Kovalev. And what happened? He got knocked down. And he scored him, and then he stopped him.
But you're talking about two different fighters.
Froch is a powerful guy.
Yeah, he's a powerful
George
guy.
Groves is a powerful guy.
Yeah.
But
here's the thing.
What happened?
Do you think, back to announcement, do you think that Oscar De La Hoya and Canelo's team strategically kept him away from the bangers of the 154, like the Charlos, Demetrius Andrade?
That's the question we're asking, isn't it?
Do you know about Charlo 2 years ago? Let's be honest. When he fought Mayweather, for example, and that's four years ago, where were the Charlos?
But they're young.
That's what I'm saying. To say those guys, he's going to fight them. He's a pay-per-view star. Like, you got to look at who he's fought, what belts they had. There was a strategic thinking behind it, but maybe there weren't that many bangers. That's what I'm saying. There's not that many bangers in boxing outside of Golovkin.
Either.
Few people were saying calling Jacobs a banger before he fought him. Yeah. Lemieux was one, but for me, Lemieux is slightly overrated, to be fair. He's good, but if he didn't beat Curtis Stevenson, everyone had forgotten about him.
Yeah,
that's the only
point to bear in mind, though. there was a point where Canelo could have fought one of the good junior middleweights,
yeah.
And he fought Liam Smith. And yeah, that's no disrespect to Liam Smith.
Liam Smith had the belt, yeah, but who had the belt?
Charlo had the belt. Holders.
Charlo, both brothers got belts.
Yeah, but, and okay, so who are you going to fight? Charlo's or Liam Smith
well,
to get a belt?
Well, that's the point.
I mean, the easier fight Smith.
You're going to have to fight. You have to fight. You have to get an access to the belt. So I totally get that. But I don't think, for me, it's that big of an issue. I wouldn't say he was protected. I think that it's all about the money fights. You look at Liam Smith.
But the Liam Smith fight wasn't really a money fight. It was an easy fight.
It was an easy fight. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, 100%.
I mean, they could have said, okay, you know what, Canelo, let's really put you up against someone and test you. Mm. As far as
Lara's not a money fight.
Without a doubt.
He still would have sold out that 80,000 Dallas Stadium.
Yeah, that's true.
A doubt, you know, he's going in with an unknown here, right? You're right. He should have tested himself with a banger, right, to see how he copes with being hit hard. The fact that he hasn't, and he's stepping into the lion's den to face the probably pound for pound the hardest puncher in boxing, right, is a big disadvantage to him, because he doesn't know how he's going to cop, and none of us can answer that.
Yeah. Exactly.
None of us can actually can Canelo take a punch? Yeah, that's a big unknown.
The interesting thing is weird between those two guys as fighters, because they've sparred several times.
Mm.
So Canelo knows.
That's my point.
So it's like,
why would you put yourself at a disadvantage?
But from the sparring sessions that came out, the guys that were there, I read about this the other day, I forgot there was
I don't believe none of that.
Come on, man. Well, no one's coming to dispute
that's what I'm saying.
Canelo
but nobody's proved
twice.
It. Nobody's agreed with
let's
it.
Let's hear it.
Nobody's agreed.
Let's hear it.
No, they haven't. No, but that's what I'm saying. You know, with those kind of sparring, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of rumors and noise coming out. So I don't think we want to be taking that as the gospel. Let's be fair.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to talk about sparring, in my mind,
plus he was 20 years old.
If you're going to talk about
disadvantage, Canelo was young.
We're going to talk about a disadvantage, which you said there. I think why would they put themselves in a disadvantage? For me, I'm not saying it's not. But my point is, why would he go in and face that type of opponent? If all of a sudden you're saying he's been ducking hard fighters, he's been ducking powerful guys. That.
You know why though?
Why
he has
to,
because the cash cow will deplete. Because what the fight fans will start saying is, you've been avoiding this guy for so long, fans just won't purchase tickets anymore. So Oscar De La Hoya knows that at some point, mate, you got to get in there.
The proof of the pudding is Khan and Smith. So Khan and Smith. Let me finish. Khan and Smith, he sold out stadiums.
Khan is a big
Texas was 80,000 for Liam Smith. Who's Liam Smith? The undercard had very basic guys. So for me, I don't think they're worried from that angle. I think they see flaws in Triple G and they're going to exploit them.
They gave away thousands of tickets as concessions for the Texas fight.
Wait, I agree with that. Yeah, we're going to let you go because we kept you on the line. But I appreciate the call. And we've got the prediction.
Nicholas,
you said Canelo or Triple G?
Canelo on point. But don't surprise if you see a knockdown.
All right, man, wicked. You can only have one. Canelo on points.
Wicked. I appreciate that. So yeah. So for me, it's definitely clearly 50-50 fight. I think we can see by this is probably one of the first fights that we've spoken about where the listeners are split. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's fair to say. But I don't think when we're talking about judging fights, I don't think you should measure intangibles. I think you have to look at a boxer's attribute. You have to look at their skill set. I think intangibles, talking about sparring, talking about potential disadvantages, you can put your money on those things, but actually 9 times out of 10, they don't really work, because I could say Ward never fought a banger like Kovalev. Kovalev was a known killer. And what happens? So I think we just got to bear that in mind. For me, I think the boxing skills, you know, they say skills pay the bills. And for me, Canelo's got the skills to pay the bills and to beat Triple G. I think it's not easy. It's not hard. My only worry about this fight is if it's going to be entertaining. Because if Canelo evades, fights on the back foot, uses jab, slips, moves, it's not going to be great to watch. But the bottom line is going to get the W. That's just my opinion on that.
Guys, very quickly, let's go into a few things like the politics.
No. We've got to go into predictions, and then we've got to move on to the other fight. So, guys, we're going to move around. Robert, what's your prediction?
Oh, I think based on Triple G not being tested against a solid puncher yet.
Canelo.
Based on Canelo not being tested by a solid puncher, and also Canelo showing signs of fatigue in a later sort of rounds of the fight, I just don't think he's got it in the tank, and I just don't think he's going to be able to deal with the power of Triple G, and I predict that Triple G will stop Canelo later on in the fight. And even if it does go to points, I think that Triple G has all the attributes of what the judges are looking for in terms of accuracy, ring generalship, and effective aggression. So I think Triple G will win it.
Dwayne?
I think Triple G wins by knockout, but if it goes to points, Oscar's going to make sure the judges get this. Canelo will win.
That's the little caveat.
That's a very, very important point, you know, something I want to touch on, right? And what you've got to bear in mind, Canelo has fought in Nevada on multiple occasions, right? He's known to the Nevada Commission. He's known to the judges, the Nevada Commission judges. You know, he's known to the bookies. He's known to the local economy. This guy drives the local economy. Yeah. That's going to be... Look how it's CJ Ross and Mayweather, man. Yeah, come on, yeah, you can't say that. It's not going to happen.
That's you can't say that, because bottom line, that's the same thing Kovalev said against Ward. And what did we say? This bullshit. Mm. You have a team there to negotiate. You guys can pick the... Boxing isn't Canelo picks all the judges, picks the refs. You have the option.
You have influence, though.
You have influence.
You can have influence, 100%, but you've got to look at it like this. You have the opportunity to say who you want and who you don't want. That's number
that's
one.
Happened, though,
number
yeah.
two, if Golovkin's fought, he's become a name by fighting in America, well, he could have fought in Vegas. So I'm not going to hear Canelo wins, oh, yeah, but the judges this, that, nah. Get that out of here, man. You ain't got time for that. You said the same thing with Kovalev. Let's focus on what happens on the ring, because ultimately, you can't... Okay, we've known a lot of bullshit decisions, but if a judge stands up and says, I actually thought this fight won, how can you go into that mind and tell them otherwise?
Who's A-side in this fight,
explain
by the way?
CJ Ross.
I don't know.
Canelo A-side.
Yeah, but if that's what she thought, I agree, it's bullshit.
Come on, man.
Yeah, but
ooh,
I agree, it's
there's got to be a little truth in that, then.
That's what you've got to bear in mind. Canelo's the A-side.
Canelo's the A-side.
He's got Golden Boy behind him.
He's got Golden Boy behind him.
And I get where you're coming from, Kojo. Yeah. I couldn't say, like, oh, it's a fact. It was definitely a brown envelope. But I think, if we're being realistic, you can't
say it doesn't happen.
Size of the ring, size of the gloves.
But then my point is, when Ward is and Kovalev is start shouting out, and Kovalev is saying, I was robbed, American
but
judges.
That's different, because that's post-fight opinions.
No, but when the fighter now says, listen, I won that fight, I don't know how the judges gave it to this guy, and he's saying he's American, he's local, this, that, and the other, what are we then saying? Well, yeah, it's a possibility, but we saw with our eyes that Ward won, right?
But if we bear in mind, okay, like if we're
talking, so I think it's your perception.
Okay, but if we bear in mind what we really touched on with the Triple G Canelo scenario, opinions were put forward that Triple G lost to
Jacobs,
but he was given the fight because of the money that's going to come with the Triple G thing. So we can't really, even if we look at that fight, because that was the lead up to where we are now.
Yeah, but I would say I, in my mind, I said Jacobs won, but I can see how he didn't get the point. The word you used there was the effective aggression when you said in this last fight. That's probably what Jacobs didn't do. There were things I was looking at him thinking, nah, he's done well. But the effective aggression was more Triple G side. So I'll hold my hands up and said that. But bottom line, I think if we're going to talk about refs before a fight, I think we're clutching at straws. I think let's focus on
I don't think so, man, because this is a point that's already been brought up by Triple G's camp already.
Yeah,
you know
but that's
I mean? So,
yeah, but that's my point. Like, sometimes losers like to make excuses before they win. If you're, put it this way, Triple G's a knockout artist, right? Yeah. If he knocks out Canelo, what are the judge going to say?
That's my point. My point is, I feel he has to knock him out.
I think he has to. He has to beat him in a way where
he has to be comprehensive dominant. If he comes close, it's going to go into Canelo.
And I'm just going to put that brown envelope on the table.
Man,
you can't deny culture. If you're the A side and you have a big team behind you, you do have influence in so many
of
the dynamics. 100%.
But if it's a close, when it's a close fight, I think you have to say it was a close fight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so if
it's a close fight and
you see a close fight and he gets the decision, it's like, I mean, randomly, I don't, it's not his UFC. Shevchenko fought Nunes on the weekend. That was a very close fight. I could see why Shevchenko could have got the fight.
Yeah,
I also saw why Nunes got the decision. So when it's a close fight, I just hate robbery, because robbery makes it seem like somebody was clearly the winner and the other guy just paid somebody to get the decision. I'm not saying that a robbery can't happen. I'm just saying, let's not talk about the ref situation until we get to it.
Let me give you one point. Let me give
How can we talk about refs? So if he knocks him out, it's irrelevant.
Very quick point, right? Listen, why the fuck is it that the IBF, for this fight, have broken their rule to allow to get rid of same-day weighings? Why? Explain that. It's the fucking influence of Golden Boy. Come on, man. This shit happens.
So it's the influence. But my point is, why are you talking about it? Yeah, it's a fair point. But my point is, you're going in the ring. You don't need to worry about the refs. You don't need to worry about the judges. You need to worry about yourself and your own performance.
True.
Simple as that.
Put it this way, I wouldn't say that the Triple G team should worry about the judges. I agree with you, Kojo. They should just be focused on winning the fight in the best way possible. But that's why I say, like, when I give my prediction, I say Triple G has to win by KO. Just to solidify, or a very dominant performance, like what Tyson Fury done against Klitschko.
Yeah.
Where even if the German judges, I shouldn't say the German judges, but even if they wanted to give it to Klitschko, they just couldn't do it.
So one-sided.
And yeah, that, I think if it's tight, you know, it becomes.
But when
debatable.
It is, and that's what I mean, when there are close rounds, you could see why it's gone to one, it's gone to another. Badu Jack DeGale, everyone's saying, that no, this one won.
That was tight.
It's a tight fight. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, when it's a close fight, or for example, because I think we all, I say, those that believe Canelo is going to win are really saying it's going to come on points. So if he wins on points, I don't want to turn around and say, oh, yeah, he had the judges in his payroll and this, that, and the other. Because we're saying he doesn't really have the power to knock him out. So his strategy will be to win on points, to outbox him, and maybe bring a bit more effective aggression. So for me, I'm just like, we're wasting too much time on a laboured point.
Enough,
you know what I mean? That's just my thing.
Yeah, we can round off on
okay,
that.
Okay, my prediction, I mean, coming into this, I was very 50-50. But I think with this show, I think I've moved far more towards Triple G now. You know, I think factors like the fact Canelo's never fought a hard-hitting puncher. You know, the fact he's never truly fought at middleweight. The fact that he's pouring a lot of mass. Mm. You know, all of these factors, I think, is going to lead him to get gassed. You know, he's going to be pushed. But I think he's going to get stopped late into the fight. I think Triple G will probably stop him.
And he needs to lay off those ropes, because leaning up against the ropes, put his hands up.
It's not a good strategy against
Triple G.
That's not going to help. Okay, so my prediction, I'm going Canelo points.
That's again, where the passion came from then.
Yeah, no. That, yeah, and, but to truth be told, I think when the fight was first announced, I was like, no, Golovkin. And then studying both fighters, for me, it is a pure 50-50. So whether he's right or wrong, I'm happy, because at the end of the day, it is a pure 50-50. Yeah, yeah. For me, I just think the movement, in terms of the feet movement and the head movement of Canelo, is going to be key. I think one thing Canelo can do quite well is he can dip and attack the body. I think if he can do that and utilize that, keep that in his arsenal throughout the fight, I think that can help him. My fear for this fight, and this is why I say Canelo, I think it's not going to be as exciting as we're living it up to be. So I think, you know, there's a bit of hype around this fight, around boxing fans. We know that it is a 50-50.
It's a Manny Pacquiao fight.
Yeah, in a sense of that. And not that it's so one-sided by one opponent, but I just think Canelo probably won't engage as much as we would have liked him to do.
Anti-climax, yeah.
And I think that may help him win the fight, because Golovkin, for me, I think he gasses out slightly. So when I say gasses out, I think in the later rounds that we have seen, he's not able to throw as many punches. I think he's also probably not fought as many 12-round fights as Canelo, which could potentially go against him. So I'm just saying Canelo, get the win on points. It won't be exciting. It will just be a bog-standard fight where he uses his jab, he lands a couple of big punches, he takes some blows, but I don't see... I would not be surprised if Golovkin lands the money punch on him cleanly in his face. You know, I could see him punching his shoulders, his bottom of his elbows, but I think Canelo is going to stay out of his distance. He's going to keep the range very, very well in terms of when he jabs. And I think he's going to slip. And I see an anti-climax fight, but Canelo to win on points.
So you think he's going to go on the back foot?
But yeah. I think he's going to move on the... He's going to be on the back foot. I think he's going to move around. Exactly. I think he has to, because I think he can't stand... I can't see him standing in the middle of the ring with Golovkin and just trading.
That'd be a bad look.
It would be a bad look for him. So nobody goes into a fight, I would think, no boxer goes in with a plan that is going to be deterred, is not going to help them. So I think if he stands in the middle, if he does that and he wins, I'll be amazed. But I think I just don't think he's going to do that. So I think he's going to keep it moving. And then sometimes you're like, shit, it's the sixth round. Oh shit, it's the eighth round. And you're down on points. And not let Golovkin, because I feel with Golovkin, with his power punches, he needs to settle. He needs his feet to be sort of like in the canvas.
Plant his feet.
Really needs to plant them. And if he doesn't allow Golovkin to do that, which is an easy thing to do in my mind, the time is just going to go past Golovkin.
I agree. I think, you know, for Canelo to win, I mean, we're going to talk about like the keys to victory. I think like Canelo, he has to move a lot, because that will gas out Triple G, a bit like what Jacobs has done.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to target the body, take away the energy as well. Because if you look at the Jacobs fight, that's effectively what happened. I think Golovkin started to gas.
Mm.
And I think a lot of that dude was with Jacobs move around a lot, you know.
He has to employ. That's a good point. He has to employ a similar strategy to Kell Brook, and Kell Brook is amazing at turning his opponents. So what Canelo needs to do is come in lighter, so he's more agile. Keep turning him, and hit him on the counters. Because Triple G doesn't do well against counter punches, but he needs to sustain that for 12 rounds. And that's my only concern with Canelo.
And that's where I think the youth, and when I say youth, like the slight age. But I think going back to the points everybody's made, I think if he sits on the ropes, I think it's going to be a problem for him. I think if he sits on the ropes, then I think we're looking at a Golovkin knockout. But I'm going with one pick, and my pick is Canelo on points. And I know we've chewed off everybody's ears with this one, but we've got to go through some of the other fights. So look, Billy Joe Saunders, Monroe, D, what's your prediction and what's your thoughts on this fight?
I think Billy wins. Home fighter, seems to be in good shape with the Ingle gym. I think.
Can I ask
Billy
you a question on that?
Yeah,
have you seen some of the pictures of Billy Joe Saunders?
Yeah, on Insta.
Are you suspicious?
No, I'm not, to be honest. I think Dominic Ingle's maybe not getting the recognition for what he actually does as far as his knowledge with nutrition. And I think it's a case of Billy's taking his career serious by making that move, because he could have stayed with who he was with when he fought
Adam Booth.
Before him, the guy that when he was with when he fought Eubank Jr. So I think Billy's really taking his career serious. I think Billy's in a mindset where, regardless of some of the criticism that he receives, he's a fighter. And I don't think he really appreciates all the slack that he takes up on social media and people saying that he's a paper champion or a fake champion, all this. I think that's really pissed him off. And I think he wants to make a statement. And I think, obviously, he's got the team behind him supporting that, i.e. putting the fight on the same night as the Triple G Golovkin thing. So I think Billy's going to go out there to make a real solid statement.
Good.
Yeah, the thing is, he's fighting William Monroe Jr. as well. I don't think there's any need to get roided up for that fight. You know what I mean? You see what I'm trying to say? Like, so William Monroe,
you say that though,
but he's a decent fight, you know. Big Dave Rosado, he's a tricky southpaw.
And it's not even just that, it's the last performance. It's okay. Billy Joe's been inactive for a while.
For a while.
So that is, and I'm not saying it's
both, but I think really.
That is a bit of an issue, exactly. Yeah. And Monroe, I think, is a different type of fighter than. Maybe not Eubank Jr. so much, but maybe he's a bit more active. But your who did win the belt? Andy Lee. Who did he win the belt from? Andy Lee. In terms of his physique. So I think the presence of Monroe Jr. could put him under a bit of pressure. But for me, I think Billy Joe Saunders is a really good technical fighter. I think he doesn't get the credit for being a technical fighter in terms of fighting off the jab, movement. And he's got decent power as well. So, I'm not going to say that there's any suspicion. I was just very surprised because you saw the last two fights where he's looking flabby, he's out of shape, and all of a sudden he's looking like he could model for Armani or something. Like, it's a huge contrast. Yeah. You know,
we spoke to Dominic
Ingle.
He's not only a trainer, he's actually a nutritionist as well.
Yeah.
So he knows how to cut weight.
Yeah, I mean, he himself, he's, I wouldn't say he's a bodybuilder, but
he's lean.
He's very, very lean. You see pictures of him, Dominic Ingle.
He's got the bodybuilding. Scary pictures, man, like when you see him in bodybuilding.
So predictions?
Yeah, for me, again, I think it's, for me, it all depends what Billy Joe turns up on the night. If you get Andy Lee, Billy Joe, he's going to win. Right? And if you get Arkov, Billy Joe, it's going to be a tough night. So for me, I think Billy Joe, as Dwayne said, he's got the home advantage. And, you know, they're taking calculated risks here because they know everyone's screaming for Billy Joe to fight a credible opponent. So he knows he has to step up, but he's taking a calculated risk by taking a guy that's a nice little touch up, but he's not too dangerous.
And he's good and for his CV.
He's good for his CV, and the guy's coming over to his home territory. So William Monroe, he has to do it. Errol Spencer, he's got to come here, show him no respect, push the fight, be the aggressor, and take the belt off Billy. If he comes in with that kind of like slick southpaw counter punching style, waiting on the back foot, he's gonna get beat. The judge is not gonna give it to him.
I think I agree with you there, and I just don't think William Monroe's got the kind of goods to beat Billy Joe Saunders. I don't think it's happening. You know, he's at home as well. And I think Billy Joe Saunders at the stage of his career with a mega fight later on in the evening, he needs to make a statement. You know what I mean? If he wants to get that big money fight, all eyes are going to be on boxing that night. He needs to go in there and just do a demolition job on William Monroe. He's up there as a top middleweight. This fight happens, you know, he's going to want the winner unless there's a rematch.
I think there will be a unification fight. But I agree with you. I think he needs to impress to really
even maybe command more money for the in that fight. Because if he looks average, maybe, you know, if it's Canelo wins, I mean, Golovkin's got this ambition of getting all the belts, but if it's Canelo win, maybe Canelo will be like, fuck it, I don't want to fight Bilal Saunders. I don't know. But I think he's got to look good. I think he has to look good. Also on the cards, we've got Anthony Yard. He's fighting for European light heavyweight title. What do you guys think of him?
He's coming along really well.
Yeah.
Anthony Yard. He looks like a champion in the making.
Yeah.
Obviously, we need to see the level step up, and I would like to have seen him fight Jose Burton. Oh. But I've kind of seen a few interviews from himself and Tunde, and I can understand their stance. But I think at the same time, it would have been a good way to ensure the fight against
Buglioni.
Yeah. So but Anthony Yard's coming along really well.
Yeah. What do you think?
I second that. I think Anthony Yard, he obviously spent some time in California at the Mayweather gym. He's definitely showcases a lot of those skills with the hand speed and the angle shots. But I think he's ticking all the right boxes. But I'm still undecided about him because I haven't seen him in there with a decent level of opposition. So I think he's doing all the right things. He's making all the right moves. He just needs to step up the level of opposition so we can actually see what he's made of. And I'm going to be front row when he gets to fight Buatsi. Or even Frank Buglioni.
He's in the same league as Buatsi.
Something that goes under a lot because and Buatsi's got actually more amateur experience or more overall experience than Anthony Yard.
Anthony
Yard's got the profile.
He's built the profile. He's got the build. Totally get your point. Daniel Dubois fighting AJ Carter. What do you think of that?
That's like we always say, man. It's going to be slammed to the slaughter time, isn't it? You know,
quick sacrifice.
It's just sacrifice time. Yeah. At this stage of his career, I mean, you see this guy, all the guys going, man. That's literally
AJ Carter is wrapping him up,
hands tied, thrown in the ring, one round.
So
out.
AJ Carter's last fight, he fought this guy, an Eastern European guy, and what's the promoter's name? Not Butterfly. But the promoter did a big fight down in Crystal Palace. It was actually a good event.
Dove
Promotions. Oh. Yeah, so it's a big card. Gorman fought Akinlade. They were the headliner event. And Sonoski, that's the name. And honestly, he got knocked out badly where they had to come in, take him out on a stretcher.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, why the fuck do you want to fight Daniel Dubois? Like, honestly, because I'm just thinking, this guy is known for knocking guys out. Okay, he's only 4 or 5 fights into his career, but I just thought it's a massive, not even a risk. I just thought, why would you want to take this punishment?
Yeah. Probably
it doesn't
just
make
like
sense. I thought even Joe Joyce
hard up. He needs the money.
Oh yeah, 100%. But I felt I feel his promoter sold him short because
when you get that phone call, man, you got to lace up the gloves.
Yeah. Like, but it's not like a Joshua kind of phone call, or even a Chisora. It's just like Dubois. Like, what's the payday going to be for that? Yeah. Like, it's not going
to
be.
I guess that's the thing, Ryan. I don't want to dig into that particular boxer's personal background, but you just never know what a person's dealing with.
Yeah, that is true.
He might have some personal scenario and he has to just catch a quick check.
Money,
boxing, as we all know, it's a hard sport, especially if you're going to go pro. So it could be a situation where it's like, do you know what, I don't know where my next payday is going to be. The money might make sense to his personal circumstances.
Yeah.
And he's just got to cash that check.
Yeah. No. Agreed. So outside of that, we've also got the WBC, but there's World Super Series Boxing. Callum Smith's headline against Skoglund. What do we make of this tournament so far? Obviously, last weekend we saw Usyk defeat Huck.
Yeah,
you guys?
Actually.
So a couple of questions. Predictions for Smith Skoglund, and what do you make of this Super Series tournament?
I think I'll probably get shot down, but I think the UK fighters are going to tear through that tournament. You got Callum Smith, Eubank Jr., Rose. What's the other guy? He's really underrated, but
Jamie Cox.
I think those guys will just blitz through most of the other boxes, man. That's a solid four.
Yeah, it's definitely.
I think it's very good that they've put it back. Absolutely.
100%. I think it's something they brought.
What do you know about Skoglund, mate? Do you know anything about him?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I had that same perception, like, yeah, the British fighters have got this, but then when I started reading up on some of the guys in there, a lot of them are, like, some tough, like, European guys. They've got some good records. Like, Skoglund, he's world-ranked in two divisions. He's, like, world-ranked in light heavy, and he's world-ranked in super middleweight. And Kessler was saying some interesting points about him. Like, he's apparently supposed to be the real deal. I watched a fight this morning. He's a tall, rangy, good counter-puncher. He just gasses out a bit too early. And I think it's going to be a tough fight for Callum Smith, but I think he's going to pinch it. But I think, bear in mind, this is a quarter-final fight, so every
fighter in that at that stage is a decent level of caliber of fighters. True. So
I think at that division, the super middleweight, I think he's definitely the most entertaining. I think even if you look past Smith and Skoglin, who they face fight next, you got a good fight. You look at Groves versus Cox, their next opponent is also a good fight. So I think definitely this division is going to be live. For me, I think the interesting thing about this fight, which is good, is that both fighters are coming in undefeated.
Yeah.
And both of them are relatively unknowns. I think there's been a lot of, not necessarily hype, but there's a lot of potential on Callum Smith. He was earmarked to fight Darrell or the girls. So I think he needs to have a good, solid performance. And I think if he can, he can really sort of jettison his career off this fight.
This is time for Callum Smith to step up, isn't it? Yeah, he needs to win this fight.
Step up.
You know, all this hype that's been behind him, because the Eddie Hearn machine has been really behind Callum Smith from day one. Right, you know, it's not missing, but there's been a lot of money behind Callum Smith. He's like going to be like a future golden boy if he pulls it off.
Wiping out opponents,
you know what I mean? So after this, he's going to have to fight the big guns of the super middleweight division. So let's see how he performs. We also had the cruiserweights this weekend. Usyk against Huck.
Yeah.
What did you think of this guy?
He looks very impressive, you know, and he was like bloodthirsty.
Ah, man, I think it was after that push in the build up.
Yeah, he was like, you know what, I'm going to terminate this guy. Yeah, I actually watched it live online. It was a good fight, man.
I think you're thinking, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You're going to learn today.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
People don't know about Usyk. People don't realize the three amigos is Lomachenko, Usyk, and the other dude in the light heavy. They all have like 400 odd plus amateur fights. They all won like gold medals twice.
Yeah.
Like Usyk is a complete donor. I've always said Usyk is the guy in the cruiserweight division.
And you can't knock amateur experience. I mean, I think that was, I don't want to go off topic, but it was highlight when you had O'Hara Davis fight.
Josh Taylor,
yeah.
Yeah, there was the amateur background.
Cordina, Josh Kelly.
You can't knock that amateur level experience.
Yeah. My only thing with some of these guys, though, and I have to say, is like someone like Lomachenko, clearly he was a skilled boxer, but for me, he stayed in the amateurs way too long. And that's my only sort of like with these guys, you can see they're good. It's like, what competition are you getting in amateurs?
Turn
pro.
Yeah,
it's like turn pro. And Cubans have an excuse, you know, they've got sanctions on them. So they can't even, they need to do something like that. Yeah. But I mean, with some of these guys, I'm just like, they should have turned pro a bit sooner because Lomachenko, what, less than 10 fights, you're a world champion?
That's a bit
what were you doing that fight number 280 to 330? Yeah. Like, but still quality fighters, great opponents. So also had the Superfly summary. And now you want to run through that?
Yeah, so we had the big weekend with the Superfly fighters, you know, the top fighters in there. We had the Thailand's Rumvisai KOing Gonzalez again in the fourth. Really sad to
see. Heartbreaking.
Is this the end for Gonzalez? Don't know. Is he going to go back down? Don't know. You know, we had Cuadras win on points. That was a bit funny at the end because Michael Buffer made the winner to be the other guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what's going on until they collect the Sugos? And we had the
Steve Harvey moment.
Steve Harvey moment. You know, then we had the Japanese guy, Inui. Can't pronounce the guy's name. This guy looks special, man. I think he is the top superfly, probably, you know. And that's it. And
for me,
before. Go ahead.
Like I say, let's touch on this Choclito thing because.
He's,
for me, he was always at the top of my pound for pound list.
Mm.
And there's a lot of like comments online since the weekend. Everyone's like disrespecting him, saying that he was a hype job, he was never that good, yada, yada, yada. But this guy, this is a typical symptom that he faced, like Roy Jones is facing. Roy Jones was he won 6 belts in 4 divisions. Choclito won 4 belts in 4 divisions. Mm. But this is a typical symptoms of not knowing your boundaries. Keep going up in weight and not knowing when to stop. So like Choclito, he started at the lowest weight, which is like minimum weight, 100 pounds. That's like 7 stone. Yeah. He knocked out and beat every champion from 100 pounds to 115. And suddenly he gets beat. But it's because people don't realize you can't, the natural attributes that he has, like your power, your speed, your heart, your aggression, you can't
take it up forever.
You're going to get to that point where you hit the glass ceiling and you're going to get beat. So it's just sad.
Yeah, and I think you're right in what you're saying, actually, in terms of how far he's come through the boxing. But I think also we have to be honest, and I'm a boxing fan, sometimes people don't think that far back, you know, they just think about your last 3 fights and unfortunately. So it's a shame for him. I don't know, you know, we had an article on the website, we were saying like, oh, you know, what next for him? It's a tough one because he is a quality fighter. I will say I never thought he was pound for pound, not because he didn't have the ability. It was just more like the opponents he faced and how recognised were they. But that's an argument for another day. But
Yeah, it was a shame to see him. So you know what? You just see that we've got Paul, our resident, on the line. So Paul, I'm going to come to you quickly to say a few words. Hello, Paul.
Hello, mate.
Hi, mate. What do you want to say to us? The floor's yours. We'll give you open mic for a little bit.
When it's just going back to Callum Smith and Skoglund.
Yep.
I didn't really know much about Skoglund myself until I was speaking to Luke Blackledge on the phone so I could do the article for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fought and then he's also sparred over in Sweden with Skoglund quite a bit.
Okay.
And he said, don't sleep on Skoglund because he is as strong as an ox. He said he does everything Callum Smith does just as well as he does.
Wow.
And he said he's looking at this as a genuine 50-50.
Oh, that's even better for the Super Series. That's perfect then,
right? We also contacted Joel Gallagher about this, you know, to ask him what he thinks about this. You know, okay. He said very briefly, saying this is going to be a good, tough fight. Yeah. So I don't think they're looking at this being a simple, easy fight.
And Paul... Go.
Yeah. They do say about Joel Gallagher, he doesn't miss nothing. Mm. He's very, very meticulous with his approach to fight. So, like myself, I don't know much about... Their opponent, but I'm sure Joe does.
Yeah, no. It sounds like it. And I mean, 26 fights, 0 losses, that tells you he could be half decent. And Paul, what's your thoughts or prediction for Billy Joe Saunders versus Monroe?
I think Billy Joe's going to turn it on because you go back to his biggest win. Not the Andy Lee fight, that was a good win. But you even go back to Chris Eubank,
mm-hmm.
and everyone thought Eubank was going to beat him. He was going to be too good for him. He had 6 weeks preparation for that fight. He was fleshy. He was out of shape. And he still schooled him. You give him a full camp like your dad with Ingle, you see the shape he's in. You look at the quality he's been sparring in the gym with and everything. The improvements he's made. And I just can't see William Monroe beating him. On his day, I think Billy Joe is one of the best, like skill wise, that we have at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, people forget, and I would agree with you on that, because people forget he was a Olympic Team GB amateur,
exactly,
so
he was,
he's definitely got the skills in the right levels. But no, thank you very much for that, Paul. And we're going to move on, but appreciate that. So, last couple of words, because he's obviously moved on. So yeah, this week was at the AJ Pulev press conference. Obviously, it's kind of business as usual. All the big media outlets were there to watch that.
Yeah.
But it was really good to kind of speak to AJ, get some thoughts on what he wants to do moving forward. So don't forget, we've got all the videos on YouTube and some more footage of that. So check that out. The only other thing before we close is really the sad news of the downfall and the demise of Adrian Broner. And you thought where it couldn't get any worse.
That is a nice topic to bring up.
Yeah, unfortunately, you didn't think it could get any worse from the weekend where he pushed a woman down and knocked out a civilian. Then there was a lot of messages going on online just asking for help, saying, what would you people do if I'm not here? And no matter what we say about him as his character and the flaws he said, you don't really want to see that, because he has been an entertaining fighter over the years. Where does he go from here, guys?
I guess it's interesting because myself, Robert, and a couple of my other friends, we got like our own little WhatsApp group, and mm-hmm. we do is talk boxing. And my initial point was totally shut down by Robert, and I accepted it, because I was initially I just criticised
Broner.
Mm-hmm. Sorry for that. Yeah, criticised Broner, and I was thinking like, what's he doing? How can he just walk? How can he do this madness? But Robert made a good point. I should really just push the mic over to Robert. Really,
go on then, Robert.
No. I was just saying that Broner, he needs help. Basically, you take a kid from the ghetto and you give him, he comes from a dysfunctional family, you give him, you slap $1 million in his account, you give him fame, you give him access to all the things we could ever dream of, and then you're just creating this monster, right? It's similar to Mike Tyson. How would the world be if Instagram was around when Mike Tyson was 18? Capturing all the crazy things that he was getting up to. The kid, he just needs a solid support system. And the thing is, people forget, is that we were all young once. So we're like in our mid-30s critiquing a guy in his 20s. Do you know what I mean? You got this guy, he's got all this fame, all this money, all this power. And of course he's going to make mistakes. I just think he just needs to have the right support network around him. He needs people to
to actually show him where he's going wrong, and just he needs positive role models around him, really.
Man, yeah, Floyd Mayweather doesn't get any bigger than that.
Yeah, I mean,
like Al Heyman, you know, you've got people like that holding him up.
Sam Watson,
these are big names.
You're right what you're saying. I think we can't be overly critical. I think there has to be, it is a fine line. We can't be overly critical. But I think also from a sympathy point of view, he can't be on the streets of on a strip of Las Vegas pushing women and knocking out civilians because your hands are weapons. So from that point of mind, he has to be thinking. And the other thing
he
I would
kill
say
someone,
is
man.
Where I mean, for not, and outside
bear in mind,
of that,
he was walking away though. So we don't know what happened before that. Was he being antagonized for hours?
Guys, I would say, like, we've been around boxers, you've been around boxers. The number one thing they always tell you is discipline. That's what gets them to the top of the sport. He's had discipline at some stage of his career. Whether it is the money that he's now receiving, it's about billions, the wrong persona. I just, like you, bottom line, think he needs help. I hope he gets the help. I hope he can make a comeback in boxing because I feel there's some big fights. I mean, the other day we were discussing Broner versus Khan. I think that would be a wicked fight.
Yeah, you can sell
you know
that.
What I mean?
Yeah,
you could easily sell that, no problem. And it's a great fighter for both fighters. So it was really sad to, like, literally, I think the next day we saw that and it was like, oh, come on, Broner. He's had a great influence for, like, Mayweather, you know.
He's a mature Mayweather as well.
Right? So and Mayweather said to him, stop your drinking. But I think last week, or after the May, not too long ago, there's a picture of him with two bottles of champagne.
This is what I mean about
his background, his environment. But he got out of it, and it's like, but I know when you say it's tough because the claws are still into you, but like he's a father
around him as well.
But I would also say he's a father, so I would say, I mean, that alone must give you a bit of maturity to know that, you know what, I can't do what I was doing before, it's time to fix up. So,
the thing is,
He's in Last Chance Saloon now, sorry.
Yeah,
I think it was a Last Chance Saloon when they held a gun up someone. You know, I thought it was like maybe a Last Chance Saloon when they found him up in a shot up van.
But he still had big fights after that. And I agree with you.
So,
but he still had big fights.
And what he's got to remember as well, yeah, you're supposed to be like a role model. That's, you know, you've got all these young kids from the ghetto trying to think, you know, I have to get, you know, listen, London is one thing, yeah, but these places are next level.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So you got this guy, you know, you want to be a positive role model, right? We've got this thing in London, gloves not guns, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So shit like that, you know, it takes people.
But what if
streets.
Your role models are hustlers though, and drug dealers and killers?
But his role models, not in a bad way.
That's the thing, he's supposed to take this shit out, you know what I mean?
It's easier said than done, that's the issue of it. It's like, here's the thing with boxing and like NBA. With NBA, right, they take these kids out the ghetto and they have this support system. They literally have to go through classes where they show them like how to manage your money, how to manage your family, how to manage your personal life. They have all this structure. Even when they retire, they have like a retirement fund for these guys. Boxers don't have that. They come out of the ghetto, they come out from tough environments fighting from get go. It's you that is do or die. So a lot of these guys, it's like they are just, some of them are just products of the environment. So if you've lived like 25 years of just thinking violence is normal, you're just going to think it's everyday thing. You're just going to think it's a normal thing.
Totally get that, and I think, you know, you said Mike Tyson, even we say your Mayweather's, you know, we get that, but I think you look at, and maybe it's the wrong ways, but you look at your guys like Moses, these guys don't grow up in like prestige areas, they grew up in the ghettos. Your Andre Ward's went through some tough shit, you know,
Andre
growing up
some serious shit,
like,
man, mum and dad both addicts,
you know what I mean, these guys they I think they take a bit of ownership, and I just think with Adrian Broner, he just needs to take a bit of ownership, because it's all well and good putting sort of suicidal messages on online, and unfortunately I know friends that have killed themselves, but my thing is, you've got to take ownership for yourself, and I think he's at that phase. I think he's at that phase from, like, you said, the gun, the bowling alley, robbing somebody, getting shot up in a van, he went to prison, he came out, he was
even with what's happened recently, you can be looking at some jail time for that.
100%.
Oh, he's going to pay out big money. He's going to pay out big money.
He's going to go to prison, and he's going to pay big money because that civilian, to be fair, is probably thinking, oh, I'm so happy this guy hit me.
He's
probably saying,
yeah, hit me again, hit me again. That's probably why he was chasing him. So it's Adrian Broner, let me just go and start a fight.
I'm telling you.
He's on the phone, he's like,
yeah. I know he's going to react.
But guys, listen, I'm sure we could go on all night. Our engineer needs to get home as well, and I'm sure we've got to get home. But listen, Dwayne, Robert, thank you very much, guys. This is Below the Belt TV, and in conjunction with Raps on TV. It's been a good session, guys.
Say one thing, check us out on YouTube.
That's what I was going to say. Give us your go to your social media, your Instagram, Facebook. Let them know.
Right, cool. So yeah, the our handles are on Instagram and Twitter is at Below the Belt TV. So check us out. We've got some great content on there. We just had a really insightful interview with Don Charles. We've also got another interview with Umar Sadiq, just recently signed to Frank Warren. We've also got an interview with Ian Lewison. And we've also got a plethora of interviews with some London-based and up north boxers that are really hitting the scenes right now. So check us out.
And guys, don't forget, you know, the show's going to be available tomorrow from iTunes. Visit our website, www.rapsontv.com. You can access the show from there. Follow us on Facebook, Raps on TV. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube as well.
Perfect. So all of that. We've got the website. We're always looking for more staff. But for everybody else, enjoy the weekend. There's a lot of boxing. Boxing's back. And we look forward to next week predictions and see who was right and who was wrong. All right, but guys, thank you very much. All the support. Peace.